Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, all you cool cats and kittens. I'm Kevin Cruz. I'm the CEO of LeadX, where it's our mission to spark the next 100 million leaders around the world. It is my honor to be with you today. As LeadX has taken off, it's gotten harder and harder for us to schedule these podcasts, but it is one of my favorite things to do. Talking to great guests, making new friends, and bringing no-cost value to people like you all over the world. And I'm super excited for today's program. I met our guest just recently, and she has perhaps the best designed leadership development program I've ever seen. And I see about five a week. Before we begin the interview, though, I do have to remind you that management training alone rarely works. Behavior change is always hard, and getting our managers to be people leaders instead of task managers, it's a tough thing to do. But imagine if, in addition to your training program, you could give each new manager their own leadership coach. Too expensive, I know, but that's because you're thinking of a human coach. That's why we created Coach Amanda based on IBM Watson and the LeadX platform. She learns about each manager so she can send hyper-personalized behavioral nudges. She can set up custom 12-week action plans so each manager learns something new or tries something on the job or reflects on what they just tried week by week, just as they would if they were working with a human coach. Coach Amanda keeps them accountable, answers their questions, and helps them to apply what you taught them in your manager academy. Managers love Coach Amanda. They talk to her all the time. They recommend her to others. And after 90 days, most importantly, they become better leaders. We see a positive delta in employee engagement scores, in morale and motivation, reductions in stress, improvements in productivity, after just 90 days. Visit leadx.org and sign up for a free demo, or just get a feel for what it's like to have the app, use some of the content, talk to Coach Amanda by downloading the LeadX app in your favorite app store. All right, I met our guest today at the Chief Learning Officer Exchange in Austin, Texas earlier this year. In fact, it was the last business event I went to before sheltering in place. Cool event put on by the people at IQPC. Now, our guest has a PhD in IO psychology and over a decade of experience in the real world doing talent management. Today, she's the global head of talent development at Groupon. Our guest is Dr. Eliza Witcher. Eliza, welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Now, I mentioned in the introduction that we met earlier this year at a CLO event where you were presenting your approach to leadership development at Groupon, and I was really blown away by that at a lot of levels. So I'm just grateful that you're willing to come on and share some of your wisdom with us.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad to be here. It's been a really, really fun ride at Groupon, so I'm happy to share anything that maybe might be helpful to someone else out there.
Now, I don't know if you're going to even remember this, but I thought one of your very first slides, it was so simple, but sometimes the simple stuff is so important, and it was called Build Great Managers. Mm-hmm. And there were like four steps, starting with setting expectations. Do you remember presenting that? Walk us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and really this was all about, I think I, as a lot of people in my role or roles similar to mine, you get approached by either folks in the business or even colleagues in HR who a lot of times come to you with, you know, we need training on X, Y, and Z. And at Groupon, it was pretty clear to us that we really have an opportunity to just continuously equip our managers to be great at managing their teams. The reason for that is we have a lot of really young employees in the company. We've got a lot of first-time managers. We do a lot of promoting from within. And so recognizing this, we know that this is just a really high-impact group of people, that if we can get them really good at managing their teams, that's going to lead to high engagement, high performance, and really just the kind of high performing teams that we need to do what we do really well. So with that in mind, you know, it's something that we all know we need to just be really good at building that capability. But getting back to your point about the four pieces, I think a lot of times, you know, we hear these requests for the training piece, right? Or the capability building piece. But my perspective on this is, you know, it's always more than training. People need almost a whole ecology around adopting a new set of behaviors. So you need an environment that's sending you really consistent signals in a lot of ways about the ways that you're expected to behave and just do your job. So really what we tried to do was approach this with four different pieces to it. The first was just clear expectations. And I think a lot of people intuitively know what it means to manage a team pretty well. Like, we all know you've got to do things like set clear goals, give clear feedback, that kind of stuff. But for a lot of our folks, we know that either they don't know the full picture, or maybe they've heard conflicting things. In either case, we need to just get on the same page as a company about what exactly is it that we want our managers to be doing in the course of managing their teams. So we set off with this set of expectations that we just called the Groupon Manager Expectations. They're aligned to these higher level leader habits that we have, but they're just a lot more day-to-day practical of how do you just manage your team. Very behavioral, right? So very, very much the kind of thing you can see. So we paired that with some feedback and metrics. We included in our employee survey a new section specifically on those manager expectations. So managers are now getting that direct feedback from their team of how they're doing at meeting each of those expectations. So we set the expectation, we give clear feedback through that survey, as well as a few other mechanisms as well. The third piece of it is the capability building. So that's the training piece, right? And that's the leader journey that we put together, all of these different kind of programs and tools that we put out there for managers. The final piece of these four buckets is then accountability. And that's a thing that a lot of times, you know we send people to training, but it's unclear, are they actually doing the things we want them to do back on the job? So we wove into our performance review process that all of our people managers get a people management assessment that is factored into their overall performance evaluation. And there's a couple other accountability pieces as well, but that's the big one. So really, just to summarize, we set clear expectations, give people feedback on how they're doing against the expectations. We give them lots of opportunity to learn and build their capability. And then finally, we hold them accountable to really exhibiting those behaviors day to day.
Now, Eliza, there's so much in there, and you summarized it so well. And I just want to really unpack this for our listeners, because it sounds, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who might be thinking, well, of course, or that's obvious, or why wouldn't you do it that approach? But as I talk to many folks involved in leadership development every week, this is actually pretty rare. So, yeah. You know, what a concept. I mean, the first is like the expectations. And too often someone will say, oh yeah, well, we have that leadership competency model, mm-hmm. but then the model doesn't tie to what they're being measured on in the engagement survey, and the right. engagement survey items aren't being trained on. Or even if you're setting the expectations, measuring it, training to it, the accountability piece is missing. Where when it comes to the, you know, performance reviews, bonuses or whatever, if you're bonused for sales quota and not at all for people management, you know what you're going to care more about. And so those are like the four cornerstones for, I think, any great leadership development program. And then, of course, there's tons of variety in each, because what might be a critical habit at Groupon, you know, might not be as important somewhere else. They might have something else. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, that's the thing. I'm not really sure why people wouldn't do more of the things outside the training piece. For us, I mean, we really seek to keep things really simple. So none of this is like complex or rocket science kind of stuff. It's just, you know, just logical, and trying to keep it really consistent. So people are getting the same messages everywhere they look, and they're getting those messages clearly. They're you're getting them consistently. And I think that's the best way to really drive behavior change or really learning something new. So I think we've seen some pretty good success with it in the sense that like everybody's on the same page, and it's not just something you hear about in your workshop. It's something that you're hearing about in the Pulse survey, at performance review time, throughout all these other touch points.
Now, let me go back to, I guess, expectations and then measuring it. You have, you know, what you talk about, like the Groupon leader habits. And mm-hmm. I don't remember all of them, but one is like being humble. Another is being adaptable and resilient, obviously very critical right now. Internally, how do you, like, do you call them habits? Are they competencies? Mm-hmm. Like, people tend to get really wound up about the difference between, is it a competency, is it a behavior, is it a trait? How do you think of these?
Yeah, you know, we call them leader habits, and we call them that, again, because I think it's pretty simple in the sense of what we're trying to drive is just people doing these things consistently. And I'm honestly of mixed minds on the topic of competencies. I think a lot of times, like these broad leadership competencies, they're great in terms of giving kind of an overall direction of what you want people to do. But when it comes down to like day to day, how does that translate to me and my job? It can get, I think, a little fuzzy for a lot of people. And then in some companies, you get down to like all these levels and, you know, types of competencies. And I just don't know how much of that a typical person can absorb realistically. So for us, it was about being just very targeted and saying like, look, leader habits, we want anybody who's leading people to just be consistently doing these things. And then we built on those leader habits and just got like really more, even more granular. So for example, you mentioned one of our leader habits is stay humble. So that's something we expect of anybody leading people in the organization, just be humble. But for a manager who's managing a team closely, just some specific ways we want them to be doing that are things like, you should take advantage of the training that's available to you as a manager, not just, you know, make sure that your team is doing whatever training they need to do, but like set the example, like be humble yourself and say, I need to learn, I need to get better. So we try to take those very high level conceptual things and just make them very behavioral, very simple for like your typical manager to say, okay, yeah, I get it. I understand what that means for me.
And again, it's something that it sounds like it's, you're breaking each of those items into specific things that you could, someone could observe impartially, like, are they doing it or they're not? I agree, my manager's doing it or they're not doing it.
That's exactly. And that was really our goal, was to make this like really cut and dry for people, because especially like a first time manager or someone who's really only been managing for a couple of years, they may not always be able to sit down and have that coaching conversation with their HR business partner, for example, just because of scale, right? So how can we give them materials or guidance that like just could not be simpler, that's super user-friendly? And on the evaluation front as well, when we're asking their teams to assess them on that in the employee survey, then they can really, the team members can actually report on that in a realistic and honest way. And we're not putting them in a tough spot to assess something that they don't understand. It's as simple as, does your manager have one-on-one meetings with you at least every other week? Like, it's right. That simple. So we just try to keep it very behavioral so that everybody's really clear and on the same page.
And how often are you doing those surveys?
Yeah, so we do our deep dive survey twice a year. We call that our long pulse, and that's where our managers are getting the manager expectation score. We do one additional just manager expectation score survey at the end of the year, just kind of as a summary, and to give the managers just a third data point as they're writing that year-end review. So in total, it's three times a year that they're getting that feedback, but we also have a 360 that managers can launch for themselves at any time. We also have discussion guides, talking points, other things that they can use to just solicit that feedback from their team members. We have an anytime feedback tool in Workday where the manager's manager can just solicit feedback on behalf of that person anytime from anyone in the organization. So we have a few good avenues that are really flexible and kind of just in time as someone's looking for feedback.
And that sounds great. Sort of at a minimum, everybody's going to, you know, be measured and that data is going to get tracked. But if you're motivated to improve as a leader, or your boss has motivated you to become better as a manager, you've got other tools that you can be using in between, including that 360. And I'm curious, I've been having a lot of conversations lately around the measurement of manager effectiveness. And it gets to, you know, it's in the last few years, it's become pretty popular to do like an ENPS, employee net promoter score. Yeah. And I always say, you know, the nice part about that, it's simple, you know, it's one question. It doesn't bloat up the survey. People kind of know what an NPS is. And so it's an easy metric. The other side of that argument though, and this is more of my background from Conexa days, is if you look at if you're trying to measure anything, one question versus maybe two or three or four, you know, you're going to get a better data set and be able to take more away the more questions you would have. I mean, whether it's from Groupon or your own, you know, background, what's your thought on how should we be measuring engagement?
Yeah, I mean, I think engagement is one of those really big, complex kinds of topics. And to me, when I think about engagement, the first question I always have to ask is like, to what end? Like, because engagement's going to be important in different companies for different reasons. And some companies were interested in engagement because we have retention issues. Right. Other companies were interested in engagement because we want people to kind of go above and beyond. It's a very ambiguous environment. We want people to feel empowered and really in control and kind of creating their own roles, for example. So, you know, I think it's really about tuning that construct or that definition to what the company is really like looking to achieve. But in terms of measuring it, yeah, I think I'm very much aligned that you're going to get more actionable data when you ask more specific questions. And when you're asking really specific questions, it's really tough to get at something like engagement with one question. We do have what we call a GSAT question on our survey, which is Groupon satisfaction. And that's a good one for us to just keep track of in terms of how that moves up or down, or if there are org changes, we can keep an eye on that. But with that one, we find it an incredibly difficult score to move because there's so much that goes into that. Like, you've got everything from trust in your senior leadership to stock price to my individual manager to what my department's doing to just who I am as a person and my own personality. Like, some people are going to be thrilled whatever situation you put them in. Some people are going to be less happy with whatever situation. So you've got all of that noise, and it's just a very tough number to control and move. Whereas I think if you're getting really more specific about very specific stuff you control and care about, then it's much more likely you're going to see real movement and real change.
Yeah, that makes sense. You talked about first-time managers, and are they roughly, most first-time managers, I think, around age 30. Is that making sense? Maybe even younger in your case?
Yeah, sometimes younger for sure, but I would say that's a pretty good number, is around 30.
And so if someone's promoted from individual contributor to manager, what do you do at that point? Like, what's the journey look like for them? And then briefly, like, what does it look like as they become a manager of managers, or how are you supporting, you know, more senior executives?
Yeah, definitely. So recently we rolled out what we call the Groupon Leader Journey. And historically, Groupon did a great job of having some really quality programs and content, but the opportunity was really to kind of stitch it together so it was clear for people, like, what's that path for me? What do I take first, second, third, etc.? So the way we've laid this out is we have a quick and easy e-learning for anyone who's either just been promoted or just come into Groupon as a manager. That's regardless of prior experience. This could be a senior executive, but if they're new to Groupon, we're asking them to do that e-learning just because it gets everybody on the same page around the leader habits, the manager expectations, the tools available to them, pulse survey, all of that good stuff. So that's just kind of table stakes for anyone who's managing. Then the people who we do promote into manager roles for the first time, we have a great program for them called FS90. It's about a 90-day blended learning program where they are covering content that's very closely linked to those manager expectations. People tend to really love that program. It's very interactive. There are a lot of, you know, things like toolkits and checklists and very practical things that they can just be using on the job. So we try to get them into that as soon as possible, and they're getting prompted to self-register for that within a week or two of their promotion. So that's our program at that level. We also have solutions for more senior levels. So we historically have been using situational leadership for kind of director, senior director level. Great program. Still definitely endorse and use that, but we're in the process of creating a director transition program that specifically deals with some tricky things at that transition point. For us, a lot of it has to do with, you know, navigating the matrix and influencing without authority, those types of things. Then for our executives, we're in the process of building kind of a transition process at the executive level. Currently, we have a pretty high touch onboarding approach for executives coming into Groupon from outside the organization, but we're in the process of doing something pretty similar for those who are being promoted into VP or SVP roles.
Can you tell me more about, I'm interested in that FS90 program, because you say 90 days blended. Mm-hmm. So how much of that might be face-to-face in a workshop environment? How much of that is coaching or self-study? What's that look like?
Yeah, so the way we have it set up is that it is 3 face-to-face sessions. Now, of course, given the current environment with COVID, we have very quickly needed to shift and pivot and turn that into an all virtual format, which we thankfully did have a virtual version of it previously. So we've just been able to kind of make some tweaks, and so far it's working really well for us. So there are those 3 live sessions. Now we call them live rather than face to face. In between those, we have some additional activities. So there's a self-assessment that people do. There's a very, very light little Hogan assessment that people do just to gain some kind of self-awareness about how they might be showing up as a leader of their team. They read articles, they have self-study, there are worksheets and checklists that they work on. They have some light assignments between the workshops where they go and practice some things with their team and maybe with their manager. So we try to keep it pretty mixed in terms of the modalities. So yeah, there might be like videos people watch, things along those lines in between the live sessions.
That sounds great. And we were talking just briefly before this interview about in the situation we're in now, there's kind of, everyone's getting Zoom fatigue. You know, on 3, 4, 5 Zoom sessions a day, and you know, people are finding like a lot of energy in those. And so it sounds like, although you've got those 3 live sessions over the 90 days, it's not every day you're, you know, in your cohort in live, you know, video settings. It's more activity driven along the way. And I'm assuming there's some accountability check-ins or something in between the live sessions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So people do have, you know, kind of true assignments in between the live sessions. We try to encourage a lot of reflection too, because I think a lot of times, especially when, you know, none of us have a ton of time to spend with our people in kind of learning or training sessions. And so we try to provide some space for people just to really reflect on what they're doing and maybe have an assignment to try something new, like try something new in a one-on-one, see how did it work. Then maybe go back, adjust, try something else. So we really try to weave in those opportunities to do something, then reflect, maybe do it a little bit differently. Even as you mentioned, the Zoom fatigue, it's very real. And we're used to having people in a room for a day. Having people on Zoom for a day is just a very different thing. So we even break up those sessions and have maybe a half hour or an hour break where people just work on something independently and reflect independently and then come back to the group and share and debrief. So we try to be realistic about just that need for not just absorbing the content, but like trying out the content, reflecting the content, seeing how it works kind of in their own real world, so to speak.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you've been really generous with the advice and sharing so much about these fundamental programs. And to me, like the fundamentals, the frontline leaders, they touch more people than anybody else. So I'm always biased towards let's figure out the secrets of doing that part right. But before I let you go, I mean, I have to ask, you know, we're at the time we're doing, you know, this interview, everybody's still in under these stay at home orders. And so from both a leadership development standpoint, leadership support standpoint, but also managing from home, I mean, what's Groupon been facing? What have you learned in the last few weeks?
Yeah, so, you know, really we have this foundational leader journey that's been working well for us. And I think is the right solution for the company right now. What we're trying to do on top of that is just always be really nimble and respond to what's in front of us. So for example, when the shelter in place orders started to happen and we found that more and more of our workforce was working from home, we started to put together just simple workshops for our people managers on managing remote teams, recognizing that a lot of them had never done that before. Mm. And even those who had maybe hadn't done a whole lot of it or didn't feel too comfortable. So we you know, put that together really quickly and just got that out to the organization. We are this week just launching our change resilience workshops, which we've made available to all employees as just a way to help people understand how to cope with a whole lot of change. You know, it's stuff everybody's talking about. So how can we take that conversation and make it, you know, maybe even more productive and a learning opportunity for everyone? We are in the process of building an e-learning on how to lead through change. Again, for our people managers, this is just something a lot of them, they've never experienced. How to do, you know, crisis communications, how to keep your team engaged, how to demonstrate empathy and understanding, but at the same time, you know, people have jobs. So how do you keep them focused and accountable? So managing that whole balance. So, you know, we're hearing day to day, just some of the challenges and feedback and trying to be really responsive. And the best way we found to do that right now is just supplement that foundation of these transition programs we have with really like just in time, open enrollment, short workshops on things that are just very topical and very specific that we're hearing people really struggle with at the moment.
So when you're talking about workshops in this new environment, is it, hey, 20 people will come on this Zoom workshop and it's a one day, a 1 hour? What does that look like?
Yeah, we're keeping them pretty short. So we're keeping them around an hour, sometimes a little bit longer. But we call them workshops because we do still strive to keep them fairly interactive. So we definitely have content, but the content is mixed with activities, exercises, discussion. You know, great thing about Zoom is we're able to kind of split people off into breakout rooms so they can have smaller group discussions. Right. So we still try to keep things really interactive and fresh that way, but just keeping the format really short and really bite-sized.
So I always ask people to comment on, so what does the future look like? Like what are things you planning on for the year ahead? Now, this is a really tough time to be handling that. But I mean, maybe even before the crisis hit, I mean, are there certain technologies, topics, tools that you think you want to explore, you know, in the year ahead as it comes to leader development?
Yeah, you know, this has been, I think, a really good kind of forced experiment for us to really push the envelope on virtual. And it's something that we've known for a long time we need to do more of. As a global company, we're pretty dispersed. And especially in some of our regions, like in EMEA and our EMEA region, for example, we've got folks in countries where there's maybe like 20 people in a country. So it's maybe not realistic to do a workshop for every manager in that country just because it's a very small number. And do we want to fly there and get everything set up? So how do we manage those folks in a efficient way, scalable way, equitable way, but still a really impactful way? So I think this has really kind of raised our game with the virtual piece and forced us to learn fast about what works and doesn't work. And I imagine that even when we're back to people being able to travel, et cetera, we will still probably leverage virtual way more than we have in the past. And I've really been surprised by how engaging it's been, even for our more senior folks. That was something that I really worried about, is will some of our more senior leaders be engaged in virtual formats? And surprisingly, it's worked really, really well. And so I don't think we're going to have that to fall back on anymore of like, oh, it doesn't really work that well.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think it's a really, really good and positive thing that in a lot of ways, even I was a little bit biased against, like, oh, is that really going to work with some of our more senior people? But we see that it does. And so I think we will continue to move in this direction and really think about how can we do things in an even more flexible and engaging way in a virtual environment.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, as I sort of try to hear and read and investigate what other people are predicting on the future, it's not going to necessarily be all or nothing with any of these shifts. There was already a slowly increasing work from home movement, but this sort of accelerated it. It doesn't mean everybody will always be working from home, but all of a sudden, people who maybe were uncomfortable or just didn't know how to do it have had to learn really fast how to work from home, how to set things up, how to use Zoom. Zoom had to learn how to release security features. Everything got super condensed. And so it's inevitable that this digital transformation, you know, will just bump the needle, you know, several years ahead than where it probably would have been otherwise.
Yeah. It's been rapid, but I think kind of the push that maybe a lot of people needed, I think certainly the push that I needed.
Now, final question, what advice do you have? Someone's just taken over, their brand new head of leadership development in a mid-sized company, let's say. They don't have a lot to work with. They haven't inherited a lot. Where should they begin? What would you tell them to do as they start to think about building a program?
Gosh, you know, I would say above everything else, just keep it really simple and keep it really focused. You're not going to be able to do everything. So really working with the leaders in your company, try to pinpoint what are like the one or two things that would make the biggest impact and just really double down. I think the reason our Building Great Managers program has been so successful is that we focused on one thing we knew we needed to do really well and then just did it very, very, very well with a lot of resources, a lot of support, a lot of sponsorship. And so in my experience, and that's maybe my preference of how to work, but that can, I think, make a pretty big impact. Whereas if you're trying to do a whole lot of things, you may not get quite as far if you're not being quite as focused, especially with those really limited resources.
That's great. So if our listeners want to find out more about Groupon or get in touch, where should I send them?
Yeah, they can certainly reach out to me at ewitcher@groupon.com, and I'm happy to connect. I can also be found on LinkedIn as well. That's a great place to connect with me too.
You're generous handing out your email address. I'll make sure not to put it in any Forbes articles or anything that go out there.
That sounds great.
It'll overwork your spam filters for sure.
Right.
Eliza, thanks so much for coming on the LeadX Leadership Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Great. Thank you. Friends, if you like this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take a minute, leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Ratings are invaluable for attracting new listeners. And I like to convert those listeners into leaders because, you know, I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in the next 10 years. And if you want to become the boss everyone fights to work for and nobody wants to leave, check out the LeadX platform with Coach Amanda at leadx.org. And if you have 10 or more managers who could use some binge-worthy training, send me an email at info@leadx.org, leadx.org, and we'll talk about getting you set up with a totally free pilot for those managers. See if they like it. If they don't, that's fine. We go away. Part as friends. But if they love it, you've just found yourself a new resource for them. Remember, leadership is influence. You're always leading. How are you going to lead today?